Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, it's the Roundtable Rad Reality Show version, and what a show tonight!
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. Tonight, we have special guests. Everyone sit back and enjoy.
Welcome, everyone, and Happy New Year. I hope everyone welcomed in 2013 safely and had a great time and is off to an amazing start to the new year. We'd like to say thank you for being here with us on the Rad Reality Show Network for our Reality Roundtable show. My name is Cherry Garcia. I'll be your host tonight along with my sidekick, Mr. Paul Reed. How are you doing tonight, Paul?
Happy New Year, Cherry, and all the listeners.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And right off the bat, I want to say happy birthday to Minnesota BB fan who brought into his little family a new little baby girl 1 week ago. Congratulations.
That's always awesome to bring a new life into the world with a new year. You can't have anything better than that. I mean, that's a Christmas gift and a new year gift all in one. You can't have a better gift than a new child.
Absolutely. So here we are back again, and it doesn't seem like it's been a week, but it has. I've been trying to catch up on a lot of shows that have been collecting dust on my DVR. It's not reality shows because they've kind of come to a halt for me, but just finished watching the season finale of Homeland. It's a scripted show, so Cherry doesn't even know what I'm talking about. But it was a pretty awesome ending, and it was one of the endings, Cherry, to a season where you go, I want another episode. I want it to start up again. I don't want to wait. You know.
I know those times.
I had a pretty mild New Year's Eve, as I have over the last several years. I just stay inside. I don't get crazy. And I also have been, as I talked with you about it, I fired up my scanner, which hadn't been hooked up since my new computer for a while, and I've started looking for photos and scanning photos, and it brings back memories and all that good stuff. So I've kept myself pretty busy the last week.
Well, that's great. We have a very, very special guest joining us tonight, and I can't wait to introduce him. He was on Survivor Philippines, and he was one of the most just special guests that they had on this year as far as having personality, likability, lovability. Everyone just adored him, but he had a strategy that just didn't pay off, and he got voted out very early, much, much too early. I think we all would have loved to have seen him stay in the game much, much longer. But I'm so pleased.
The fans got robbed.
I know. We all got robbed. I'm so pleased to introduce to everyone tonight our special guest, Mr. Zane Knight from Survivor Philippines, Season 25. Zane, how are you?
All right. Hey, how you doing?
We're great.
That's,
how are you?
What an intro. I mean, I don't know if I can match up to all that you just gave me, Rich.
Well, I certainly believe all that's true. You were out of the game much too soon. Everyone loved you, and it was just a strategy that took a left turn and didn't pan out. But
yeah, it kind of sucked. You know, everybody goes into Survivor, I'm thinking, with, I know what to do, I know what I'm going to do. But when you get out there, man, your whole mind completely changes. And you're grabbing at straws. And so, but I had as much fun as I could. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for the world, you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm sure. And I'm sure those memories that you'll cherish for the rest of your life. But if you could go back and play the game again, what do you think you'd do differently?
Oh, I mean, I would have just been quiet. I mean, you know, sometimes you don't have to say anything, you know. Like, sometimes you just put your foot further in your mouth. So I would have just been quiet. Like, that's, I've said that a lot, is I just wouldn't have said anything. Because if I hadn't have said anything, honestly, it would have been somebody else going home, you know. But the first tribal is always so touchy because you really don't know anybody. And somebody asking to go kind of is like, all right, I'm going to send you home, buddy.
Oh, that was so hard on me because I really, really liked you and I didn't want you to go. And, you know, I was looking on, you know, I do my homework. And I was looking on Wikipedia and there are two people. You're the first male to be voted out since Johnny Fairplay.
Oh.
He wanted to leave.
God, I'm going to suck.
He also asked to leave, but you actually tried to convince the others to let you stay. And ironically, you're both from the same town. Did you know that? You're both from Danville, Virginia?
Yeah, I do know. I mean, Danville's really small. So, I mean, you can't really keep a secret in this town, you know. So as soon as my name hit the paper, it was, you know, Facebook and Twitter and all that mess. So.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that until just recently. And I was like, you know, that's a long time ago that Fairplay exited like that. And
well, and, you know, that was probably, and one of the most awesome things that it could have happened to me was Danville seems to love me. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
everybody loves you, though.
He was so awful that, like, they were like, you know, please take the keys. And you would just not believe how many people have come to me and been like, man, I appreciate you so much. Like, now we don't have to say, you know, he's the only one. You know what I mean? I kind of took it from him, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. You know, I was looking on your Facebook page, and I saw where you had stopped by a flea market, and they had your picture up, and different places in your town where they had, you know, posted your picture because you stopped by, and it seems like they really have welcomed you with open arms and just really, you know, taken you in, and you're like the hometown hero right now. And
it's amazing. I mean, it really is amazing, and you know, I tried to be as for Danville as I could. Like, the video that I sent in was actually in front of a old mill that's closed down here. And, you know, it's, like you said, so many people want to buy you a beer, and
hey, man, you know, take a shot with me. And it really is awesome. It's awesome.
That's
and Twitter and Facebook have been the coolest things. After finale, it was like, God, 2,000 people on Facebook, and it's like trying to keep up with talking to all of them. And I hear so many people say, well, I've got somebody to run my Facebook for me, you know, or my aunt does that or something like that. And that's the coolest thing for me is being able to talk to these people that normally I would have never, they'd have never known who I was, you know what I mean?
And that's so cool of you, let me tell you, because oftentimes reality people do have somebody else do it, and fans out here actually think that they're talking to the real person, and they're not.
That sucks. Oh, my God. I mean, I guess I'm still a fan, you know, and I had that same thing happen to me. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's another reality show, Lizard Lick.
Oh, we probably have.
Lizard Lick.
Oh, my gosh,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I love that show, right? And so I thought I was talking to Bobby Brantley on Twitter, but it turned out to be some chick or something. So he killed me. I was like, that sucks. Like, why can't you just do it on your cell phone? You know what I mean?
Oh, that's horrible. See, that's why I think it's so cool when a reality person actually does their own shit. You know, it's like either be real and do it yourself, or at least say, this is a fan page and somebody else is running it for me. Don't let people believe that they're talking to you when they're not. You
yeah,
know?
I hate it too. But rest assured, I don't know if that means anything, but all my tweets and all my Facebook stuff is, like, that's actually me. I actually do. And like, you know, I have a full-time job too, just like everybody else. You know what I mean? Like, I just do it at night when I get home. I try to catch up and, you know, send messages or whatever, and I'm slow. But it's been a few people, like, a lot of people kept asking me for a fan address. So I finally put my address on Facebook, and it's been probably about 50 to 75 people that have sent me pictures and stuff that they want autographed or stuff like that. And I try to return all that as promptly as I can, because I think that's probably the coolest thing ever, is having somebody walk up and being like, hey, man, let's take a picture together. You know, it's like, okay, I'll take one with you, man, you know.
That's awesome, Avi. That's really cool. And that's what a fan wants. You know, that makes a fan's day. And there's nothing better for a fan. I mean, and you know, you're a fan too. I mean, you've had it happen to you. And when that happens and you realize that you're not talking to who you thought you were, or you can't reach that person that you really want to talk to, it sort of breaks your heart. It's like, you know, I thought I was talking to that person, or, you know, I really wanted to, you know, reach out, but I sort of got blocked. And it's hard, you know, when you're really that big of a fan. It's so nice when the reality person that you're reaching out to responds in such a real way and is responsive. And so that's something I think fans will just, you know, love you for all the more. I mean, everybody loved you on the show, and being that responsive to fans, people are just going to, you know, continue to love you. And when there comes a time for people to, you know, vote somebody back on to Survivor, your name's going to be coming up, you know, because you've kept people coming back and saying, you know, I'm real. I talk to you, I sign autographs for you, I respond to you. And that's what fans want. They, you know, they don't want somebody that's fake and that's going to have somebody else running their page and answering for them and, you know, not being there when a fan, you know, reaches out to them. They want somebody real,
well,
like you are, you know?
You know, it's even like with the, and I'm not trying to, you know, talk junk on anybody or be mean or anything like that. It's just the simple point to it. Even the big names of, like, Survivor, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you were saying as being a fan, Boston Rob. Like, I freaking love Boston Rob. Like, he was the reason why, like, I really started watching Survivor, you know what I mean? And
right.
I remember as soon as I got, like, I saw my name in the paper and everything, and I knew that it was okay that people knew that I was a Survivor or whatever. That's the first person I hit on Facebook. And I was like, oh, that's so cool, man. Like, I'm going to get to talk to Boston Rob because I'm a Survivor, right? I never even got, like, a friend request back. And, I mean, I understand, like, you know, he's the director and, you know, Boston Rob's, like, a big deal or whatever. But, I mean, let me get a Facebook shout-out or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no kidding.
You know, it just kind of makes you, you know, understand the whole celebrity thing. You know what I mean? Like, but I said it from day one. You know, it won't ever about, you know, pictures or TV or anything like that for me. It was, I was trying to bring something back to the house. You know what I mean?
It seems a little bit different for everybody that goes on the show, but I think everyone that goes on Survivor has a deep appreciation for the game and a true love for the game and a real desire to get on there and actually play that game.
Oh yeah, it you know, it was like just sitting on the beach and like laying in the shelter. And you know, when we got the first tree mail, you know, and the little clue, and you read it, and it, you know, it's certain points that are so exciting. You're just like, I can't believe that it didn't even feel real. You know, it just feels like you're behind the scenes or something. You know what I mean? Like a Universal Studios kind of thing.
Wow, I bet it was surreal at times. Who do you think you would have really teamed up with had you stayed? It seemed like you were pretty tight with Denise at times, and I don't know. Who do you think you would have teamed up with? I know you
and Malcolm, as far as tribe or people, is that what you, like?
Just
because
in the game.
Dana,
I mean, I know it, initially there was the tribes were split in three and then down to two and then, you know, individual. So it's kind of hard to answer that question. But initially, who do you think you would have teamed up with, and then who do you think you would have wound up with at the end?
If Dana hadn't have been medically evac'd, I could have honestly seen being just tied to the hip with her. You know, just I love Dana so much. We just hit it off from jump when we finally got to talk to each other, you know.
Yeah.
Malcolm, I loved Malcolm from day one. Soon as, you know, you could talk to each other and, you know, we got on that island, me and Malcolm were going back and forth, you know. So I could have definitely seen being able to slide in there with Malcolm wherever Malcolm was at. I could talk to whoever he was talking to, you know.
Man, that would have been such a different game.
Scoop and Penner, Russ. I mean, you know, and I'm not trying to be like cocky or whatever, but everybody did like me. I mean, I was pretty much cool with everybody on the whole cast. So, and I even heard, like, you know, through the grapevine and stuff, it was people talking about me at Ponderosa, like, that hadn't even met me, you know. So I honestly, you know, like, it just kills me, man. You know, if I had just shut up, it really ain't no telling where I could have went, you know what I mean? Just solely on the basis of being able to talk, because this game, I don't care what anybody says, any condition, any place you're at, 90% of this game is social. And
yeah.
if you can talk to people and you can hang with people, man, you can get anywhere, you know.
So have you been to the Reality Rescue event that's out there not far from you?
No. I didn't actually get to go to this last one, but I'm gonna try to go to the next one.
That's a really awesome event. I've not been able to make it out there myself, but everybody that I've talked to, and I know the girl that puts it on, and everybody that we've talked to, a couple of the hosts that host with us go every year, and everybody talks about that event being such a wonderful event. So I know you'll have a great time if you go.
Oh, okay, cool. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it is a really great event. I want to go so bad.
Well, you know, that was probably my coolest thing about Finale was after Finale was over, everybody went to this place in L.A. called The Parlor.
Right.
And there were just so many survivors there. It was old survivors and, you know, like past survivors. And, I mean, it was just Philip was there. I got to meet Philip. You know, from I think he was South Pacific, right?
Philip Shepherd, yes, South Pacific.
Yeah. And so it was just so cool being able to. And these people are coming up to you saying, you know, hey Zane, and I'm like, oh my God, like you know who I am. You know what I mean? Like it's just so. Yeah, it was so cool, man. It was such an awesome thing. Like I said, just got to meet so many awesome people.
Yeah, that's the way a lot of the events are. I mean, and just coming off a show, it's got to be startling kind of realizing that everybody knows, everybody, not just the survivor people, but everybody everywhere knows who you are. And you don't know any of them, but they all know who you are.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to be like in Walmart or something. And not just in my town, but like right after Finale, I went to Vegas. And I had never been to Vegas before, so we were in the casino just kind of looking at slots and stuff. And this chick standing over beside me, and she's like, she's pointing at me, and she's talking to her boyfriend. She's like, you know, you can see her going like, I think that's the guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I got tickled, so I got to laughing, right? And I waved at her, and she's like, you're Zane Knight from Survivor, right? And I'm like, yeah. So she wants to take a picture and stuff. And like I said, man, it never gets old to me because I think that's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's cool that you can, for whatever reason, somebody wants to take a picture with you, you know, you can oblige them by giving them that picture, you know.
Well, I think it's really cool of you to be gracious enough to do so.
Well, see, that's the thing for me. And that, you know, and like I said, talking back on how it lets you understand the whole celebrity thing, you know, you think of somebody like Jason Aldean, you know, like Eric Church, you know, like huge person, Kanye West, you know, Jay-Z, whoever. If it wasn't for the people that just got off work sitting at home watching your show or listening to your CD or whatever, you wouldn't have one to see. You see what I mean? And
right.
That's what makes this show so awesome is that people of every day doing the jobs of America get to, you know, put in their little tape and see if they can make it onto the show and win $1 million, you know. So I don't feel like that I'm any better than anybody else because I got lucky enough to be on the show. You see what I'm saying? So if somebody's like a fan of yours because you're on the show, how could you not stop what you were doing and take a picture with them or sign a T-shirt or whatever? You know what I mean?
And I respect that attitude so much because I kind of feel the same way. And I know if I ever, you know, I don't apply to the shows. I'm way past that, but I'm way too old for that is what I'm saying. But, you know, I kind of look at it reality stars kind of in the same light. You know, they, you know, everyone, it's not like they've trained to be a TV star. They did, reality people did sort of just get lucky and get picked to be on a show. And so I think it's different in a sense. Some people get to go back and, you know, some people have more notoriety than others, and some people get to a longer 15 minutes of fame than others, and some people get really big heads about it, and, you know, I don't know, but but it seems to me like when you are, you know, sort of walked into such a fortunate gift, you should always remember, you know, where you came from and be gracious. And it just, that's what bothers me sometimes when people get so far above the clouds that they can't sign an autograph or they can't, you know, say hi to a fan or, you know, that kind of thing kind of gets under my skin because, you know, it's not like they train to be a movie star or,
oh yeah, yeah.
You know,
you
something
know,
like that.
You know, it's amazing, you know, how people, anything can mess your head up, you know what I mean? So, I try to be as real and as down to earth as, you know, as I can be, you know what I mean? You know, so every once in a while, everybody has a bad day, you know what I mean?
Oh, well, sure. Like, I mean, and it is interrupting to your life when all these people suddenly are coming at you. They know who you are. You don't know any of the fans, but they all seem to know who you are and want to interrupt your life and want to know your address and want to know, you know, all about you and want to send you things and want you to spend time, you know, autographing. And, you know, so it is intrusive. But when you, you know, put yourself on TV, that's sort of the thing that you, you know, expect to come out of it. And the notoriety follows.
That's what you sign up for.
Right. And so, you know, and there's a lot of fun that comes out of it. And the fun thing is that you get to give back, you know, to like your community. There's a lot of charity events that you'll get to go to and maybe even start doing one of your own that you can, you know, give back to your community and make your 15 minutes of fame something that will, you know, give back. And so many people have done that. And those are the ones that I say, you know, you've really taken it and done something with it, you know. You've given back with, you know, what you were given. And I commend those, you know. Even if you don't start your own, if you just go to the ones that are out there, you know, that's giving back. That's going to those charities and putting your name to it brings people to those charities. You know, people want to see you, Zane Knight. People want to come up and say hi to you and talk to you. So when you attend, that's bringing people there because they want to talk to you. And so that's you giving back in your way. And, you know, it's cool that when you go on a reality show, even if you're only on, a short time, you have the availability now to, you know, really do something that people that haven't been on TV, haven't been on a reality show can't do, you know? And so it's really cool when, you know, people like yourself can be real on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, be so involved with your community. And I think it's so cool that Danville has just enveloped you with their acceptance because apparently, I don't know, Johnny Fairplay, you know, he's a fun guy. He's very, he's very colorful.
You had to be nice. You ain't got to be all nice about it. I don't give a shit. You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to be diplomatic here. But you know, he's stepped in it a few times.
It is what it is. I mean,
and I'm sure he didn't leave the best, you know, scent behind. So I can understand Danville being glad they have a new hero.
it was actually kind of funny, man. Yesterday I was on my way to work and I got behind his grandma, and his grandma has got. She's got dead grandma on her tags, on her license plate. In Danville, it's dead grandma. Like, it's... so, it's hilarious.
You got to get a picture of that. Jane.
I tried, man, but she ducked off and she went the other way. I couldn't. So, I'm going to try to scheme on her next time I see her. I'm going to get a picture. I'll put it on Facebook. I'll be like, look. Jay Grandma.
You got to do that, Zane. I got to see that. That's too cool. I got to see the new hero getting Dead Grandma's license plate on Facebook.
yeah, it's awesome, man. It's awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
His dad, like, just to show you how small town we really are, Johnny Fairplay's dad has got a table at the flea market. And my dad, like, went up to his dad and was like, I'm going to take a picture with you, like, the two survivor dads, right? Like, Danville. And I was like, you know, whatever. But I thought that was kind of funny.
Oh, my goodness. So did his dad do it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, they got it on their Facebook. Like,
that's
it's so small. And I guess you live here so long that the people here, they don't feel like it's that small, but it really is. The day of the show, the second day of the show premiering or whatever, I probably had half the people in Danville stop me and tell me what happened. Yeah, what happened? Well, what did you do? Why did you? I mean, you know what I mean? And it's crazy, you know. I got people that I've known for 10 years. Now they want to take a picture with you. And hey, will you sign this for me? I'm like, what are you talking about, man? You know me. Like, I'm going to see you next week. You know, like, why do you want me to sign it? So it's like I said, it's been really awesome, man.
Phil in our chat room wants to know, is that the Piedmont Mall in Danville?
The Piedmont Mall, that's the same one. That's the mall.
Ah, okay. Yeah, we have people in our chat room that are somewhat familiar.
Oh, okay. Like, he just wanted to know if that's the same mall or...
Yep.
This is...
He lives in Roanoke, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
But he's traveled around quite a bit, so he knows a lot of places. He traveled for his job for many years, so he knows a lot of places. We got to get him to call in. If we can get Phil to call
in
on the phone.
Did you talk to anybody else from the cast? Are they going to call in?
I sent Dana a message. I don't know. I haven't actually heard back from her. I don't know if she's calling in tonight or not. But we really wanted to talk to you since you weren't able to call in the last time. And we.
I know, man. Vegas. I'm so sorry, man. Vegas. Vegas is horrible. Like, that's like the most horrible place ever. I mean, it's just. Get drunk like every 20 minutes. Like it killed me. I mean, I was out of it. You know what I mean? We started playing the slots, and after you start playing slots, you know, they come over and they're like, you know, you want something else to drink? Cocktails. So next thing I know, man, I was like, oh, I missed the radio show.
I've been to Vegas a few times, and I fully understand.
Telling you, man, that place is amazing. Like, it just never stops.
No,
it doesn't.
6 o'clock
in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's just the same thing.
Can you imagine living there?
No, no. A week was way too long. I was like, you know, take my ass back to Virginia, man. I can't handle all that.
California
was wild. I mean, you know, I have been to California a couple of times, but not in the, like, hanging out type sense. You know what I mean? So I got to really, like, me and my wife actually got to go eat at Mel's Diner and, you know, just walk up and down Hollywood Boulevard and look at the stars and all. And that place is wild.
We went out to the Big Brother finale after Big Brother ended a couple of years ago, and my husband and I did the same thing, and it's just amazing to walk up and down Hollywood Boulevard and look at all the stars and in the sidewalk. And Hollywood Boulevard isn't what you really kind of would expect it to be. The shops are much smaller, and you don't. It's not exactly what I kind of expected, but it's a lot of fun. Still the same, you know. It's just amazing out there. And
oh yeah, I got had to get another carry on for all the souvenirs that we got while we were out there, man. It was taking pictures. I took a picture at the, you know, Donald Trump star, and you see all the people, like the statue people.
Right, right.
Like with the hats in front of them, where they like they don't move until you throw something in the hat.
Right, right.
Yeah. That was yeah. It's a wild place, man.
Yeah, it's. I didn't get to spend a whole lot of time there, but I made use of every minute I had out there, and we had a great time. And the same with Vegas. I saw that you went to the Gold and Silver Pond.
Yeah, that was kind of cool too, man. You know, they weren't there.
They never are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like you watch it on TV and you're like, oh, you can roll in there anytime you want to and see them, but, you know. So we went in there and walked around. They actually had a Survivor torch from Survivor 3.
I saw that on your Facebook, and that must have come in the last 2 years, because that was not there when I was there, and that was 2 years ago. So that's come in the last 2 years.
$7,500
they're asking for that. That's amazing.
$7,500. I was like, my torch has got to be like 12 G's then.
No doubt.
Yeah, for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, my torch has got to be like blowing up right now. Somebody is making a pile of dough off of my torch.
Don't you wish you had that?
I would love to have it. Like,
get that out of there?
What do you mean?
How did they get that torch from the Survivor set?
Well, see, every year, I mean, you should, you know, I'm about to school you on something. You should know this. Every year, you know, CBS has the auction or whatever, where you can buy stuff from the season.
And
you go online, and you bid on the stuff from the show or whatever, like the flags and they burn everything, like the houses and everything. So
the shelters and all that, they burn.
You know, the shelters, the shelters and everything, they burn or they tear up or whatever. But, you know, like the little flags that hang right in camp when you come walking in, or, you know, it's a bunch of stuff. Like the in tribal
council. Immunity necklaces, I'm sure. Immunity.
Yeah, you know. So they sell, and all the torches, and so they sell all that stuff.
Wow.
And so a lot of people, you know, bid, they just sit there waiting on that stuff to go on auction so they can get it. And, I mean, yeah, I would love to have my torch. I mean, how cool would that be?
Oh, I know.
Or the Matt Singh's, you know, Survivor Philippines.
Flag.
Yeah, that flag was so awesome. I'd love to have one of those. I mean,
oh, my goodness. Wouldn't it be awesome if, like, a super fan of yours bought it for you and sent it to you? Wouldn't it be cool if you opened up a box one day that landed on your doorstep and it was, one of, like, your torch or your flag? Or
Oh my God! I mean, yeah. How do you even accept something like that? You know what I mean? Like, I'd freak out. It'd be like a publisher's clearinghouse or something. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh! Did you hear what Scoop got out of his? Scoop
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Scoop got his machete out of his camp and got it all the way home.
How?
That's what I said. How did you do that? But he did. He got his machete off the set and all the way home.
Well, that is awesome, man. That's a feat right there. You know
I'm telling you. How did you get it through all the airports? And
yeah, can you imagine going through U.S. Customs with a machete?
He had to have it in the carry-on. I mean, in the baggage that you put on the airplane, because he wouldn't get on the airplane
like
with that.
Like, you had to check that, right?
Yeah,
like,
you had to check that in your suitcase.
But I got back with two beers.
Did you really?
I'm a freak, man. I collect energy drinks. Like, I've got all the Monsters. And, like, different kind of beers, like old beers and just... So, yeah, like I said, I'm a freak. But anyway, Carlsberg is the beer that they drank, and San Miguel. San Miguel is the beer that they actually brew in the Philippines. So I wanted to bring one home, you know. So I had to wrap it up in shirts and stuff so it wouldn't get busted, because you know how they do your luggage at the airport. But, yeah, I got two beers home, so it was really cool.
That is cool, because, man, they slam your luggage around. Good on you for getting that one. I'm surprised it didn't blow up in your suitcase.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, you know, you had to wrap it up in like 4 or 5 shirts or something, and you just had to keep babying it, you know.
That was a risk, but I'm glad you made it home with it.
Oh, yeah. It's an awesome souvenir.
Yeah, it is. And where did you get the Survivor Philippine shot glass?
Oh, yeah, you know, that's been, like, so popular here in the last little bit. It's CBS.com.
No kidding.
You know, yeah, CBS website. The CBS website has got T-shirts and shot glasses and pins and bracelets and, you know, all the they do it every year. They sell the buffs of each tribe, and then the Dan Grave buff, and they used to do pictures, but I didn't see any on there this year.
Yeah, I've got a buff from when Sugar was on. I won at the Vegas Bash. I won a Survivor pack that had Sugar's pictures and a Survivor buff and a bunch of stuff from Survivor, and she autographed the buff for me and some photos and that kind of thing. And so I do have one Survivor buff.
I've got three buffs.
You got one from each tribe. That's so cool.
Yeah. I was like, I had to do it. And then, I actually got four then, because I've got the One World buff, too. It's really awesome.
Oh.
Yeah, that was actually when I got, you know, just, like, started really enjoying Survivor, you know what I mean? Because it's so weird. I wasn't really a fan of Survivor. I mean, I've watched it, but I wasn't like I've got to be at home to watch it when it comes on type person, you know? And then South Pacific, I, like, started falling in love with it. And then, you know, after that, I was just – and then I got the call to be on it. So after that, it just turns you into, like, a super fan, you know?
Yeah. So I saw that you said you were going to be better than Brandon. Were you a Brandon fan?
Yeah, I love Brandon. You know what I'm saying? I still dig his antics. You know, I don't know if you've seen the Facebook war that's going on, but he's a funny guy, you know, like...
Is there a Facebook war going on?
Yeah, there's a Facebook war going on. I don't want to put his business out in the street. I mean, but it's on Facebook. I mean, you know, like, something's going on between him and his uncle.
Oh, yeah. That's nothing new.
Yeah, well, you know, but it's been kind of entertaining the last little bit.
I thought you meant maybe between you and him. Between those two, that's pretty usual, par for the course.
Yeah. I loved Philip. I thought Philip was awesome.
He is one entertaining guy. I'll say that he's something else. I just saw a post from him on Facebook earlier where he said he was getting ready to write a book about how
specialist.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. The specialist solves a mystery that nobody else can seem to solve, and then he talked about how he's going to attack 2013 with the fierceness of a lion, well fed with a smile on its face, but the ferociousness of a gorilla or something like that. he always has these posts that just make you sort of, you know, read them and sit back and wonder where he comes up with this stuff at. He's would be a good writer, I think. He has a really good mind, and he comes up with some really good stuff. He was really entertaining on Survivor. I mean, the guy just, every time Survivor came on that year, it was Philip Shepherd front and center. Always, you know, was something to entertain you, so I think he would, you know, he would be a good one to do a book. And I think he'll probably be back on a Survivor in the future.
Oh, and Lisa Welchel, amazing, just an amazing lady. She was so sweet.
I tell you, this season here for me, and I think for a lot of people out there, a lot of fans, this was one of the most entertaining, the most favorite seasons that I've had in years. And I mean years. This has been my favorite season in ages. And
well, kinda,
I think,
I mean, it kind of died off after season one. I mean episode one. After episode one, it kind of, you know.
Well, we did miss you a lot. I will say that.
I mean, you know. I mean, let's be real. You know, like.
All right. Hey, Zane, this is, by the way, I'm Paul from Minnesota. Glad you were able to come on the show with us.
All right. What's up, Paul?
I have to fess up. I'm going to stop having favorites. Last season, Survivor One World, first episode I watched, and I go, oh, I think Courtney's going to be one of my favorites this season. And as you recall, out she went, and Zane, I did it again this year. And
oh,
I
so it's your fault.
You can blame my co-host here, Paul. It's all his fault.
Paul, like, hit me with the uppercut, man. It's your fault, man.
Oh, man. It's like, Paul, just shut up. Don't even pick anybody in the first episode. You got to stop doing it because that was so disappointing. Oh. But I'll tell you, what Sherry said is true. A lot of seasons you watch, and there's good episodes, and there's kind of blah ones, and it kind of drags on. And then you get a good one, and then there's a so-so one. It seemed from the get-go, first of all, the premiere episode was just riveting, outstanding, loved every second of it. couldn't predict what was going to happen. And, of course, I was not going to predict that you were going to go because I wanted you to stay, like I said. But it really did grab you every single episode this season, and I 100% agree with you, Cherry. It was a great one.
It was. Hey. I mean, I think it was because of the cast was so likable. And
yes.
I don't expect that to be the case next season. We already know half of who's going to be there.
I know, these damn spoilers suck, don't they? Like, that's all they do is just try to tell you everything.
Spoilers will kill you, you know? But, I mean, it's not that they're not likable, but they're certainly not likable like this cast was this year. And I think that was the draw to this season, was everyone was so likable. And
well, it's kind of like a vacation. It's like you go on one really kick-ass vacation, and then the next year you go to the lake or something, and you try to compare it to that kick-ass, and it, you just can't get it again. You see what I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
It's for me, the first year that the Minnesota Twins in 1987 went and won the World Series, beat the St. Louis. I'm sorry, Cherry. but we won the World Series, and 4 years later in 1991, to this day, they say that was one of the best World Series that's ever played. I did not get as much joy and satisfaction in the 90s.
Oh, my goodness.
I really enjoyed the very first one, and to your point, you just can't compare, you know. It's
yeah, it was, you know.
We've
had a lot of World Series in St. Louis, so that's okay, Paul.
Okay.
Anyway. You know, like that's what I was saying as far as the reunion. You know, that was the coolest part for me, was getting to because, like I said, I'm a fan of the show. So to be able to watch these people on TV and I hadn't met them, like Jeff Kent, you know, getting to meet Jeff Kent and hang out with him for a little bit and stuff, like, you know, in the green room. And man, that was so awesome. It was, like, it was really cool. You know what I'm saying? He's an awesome guy, too.
All right.
Well,
so
I wanted to ask you about that. What did you think about having people like Jeff Kent and Lisa Walchel, who already had notoriety and fame, and Lisa not so much, but definitely Jeff Kent talked about having 60 million. What do you think about those kind of people playing Survivor with people like yourself who really need the money?
Well, I'm that's kind of a loaded question. I mean, of course, I feel like that, and I mean, honestly, because like I said, Lisa's a sweet lady, but, you know, honestly, I felt like that if anybody was going to get it other than, you know, myself, Malcolm, I was thinking Malcolm was going to get fan favorite. You know, I mean, he's a bartender from Georgia, man. I mean, you know, dude works for his money, you know, and I'm not saying that Lisa doesn't work for her money, but, you know, it is a difference, man, you know, and it's, I definitely feel like that fan favorite should be reserved for somebody like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, somebody that is going to, and I mean, I don't know what Lisa Welchel's pocketbook looks like, but I know that Malcolm's doesn't look like hers, you see what I mean?
Right.
And if you could take $100,000, and then, you know, that's enough to potentially change somebody's the rest of their life. You see what I mean?
Right.
Right.
But somebody that's already obtained $100,000, I mean, it's not really going. I mean, of course they feel it, but at the same time, it don't really change nothing for them. You see what I mean?
Right.
And that's what I always thought was cool about this show, is that it has the power to change someone's life. You know what I mean? So
well,
I was kind of disappointed with it, but it is what it is. Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying as far as changing your life, but we had a survivor, past survivor, castaway hosting our Survivor shows this season, Bubba Sampson, he talked about different moments that people spend on Survivor, even if they don't win or get any big money out of it, that is life-changing. And I don't know if you would go so far as say life-changing for yourself, but just the fact that you are recognized. And like Cherry mentioned, just because you are recognized, you can give back. You can bring people to charities that make a difference. So in a sense, maybe not to as large of a scale or financially, your life,
I would most definitely say life-changing. I mean, getting to sit on a beach, being able to spend the night outside on the beach and live like that in the elements, and I mean that is a life. I mean, it going outside of this country, I think everybody would appreciate the United States more if they left it. You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
Seeing how other cultures live and what they think is, not what they think, but what they have grown up knowing to be the normal. You know, you come back over here, man, we've got it made. You know what I'm saying? And it even changed the way I sweep the floor at work. I mean, you know, like it changes the way you fold your clothes after you take them out of the washing machine. I mean, you know, like it's a very life-changing experience. And so, like I said, I tried to be as open to it as I could be from day one.
I was going to say, it makes it a lot easier just to get up and get in your car and go to work every day, but it sounds like it's much deeper than that even.
Oh, yeah, man. My wife actually, right before we left, she went to Hobby Lobby and made these keychains with the Survivor logo on one side and a picture of me on the other side. And so I signed them all, right? And so it was a bunch of fans, you know, like young kids that were in the lobby of the hotel when we got there for finale. And so many of them are coming up to you and, like, hugging you and telling you how you've made a difference in their life. And so, like, I'd give them a keychain and be like, look, you know, I ain't got but, like, 7 or 8 of these, so, you know, don't tell nobody I gave you one. So then they, like, look at you like they're going to cry, like that's just the most awesome thing in the world. And, you know, like I said, like you said earlier, it really does get under your skin that people like these mega stars don't feel like that they have time to do something like that. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, can you imagine really, like, the flock of people that love Angelina Jolie?
My goodness.
I mean, can you imagine what it would mean to somebody if she would follow somebody on Twitter or, you know, send them a private email that says, hey, how are you doing? I mean, you know, I know you can't, you are busy and you do have stuff to do, but there is an hour and a half, you know, or 2 hours out of your day that you can take while you're sitting there watching TV or something and, you know, mess with these people, you know.
Even 10 minutes, I mean, to hit one up, you know, a day would be amazing for somebody like that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, whether they want to take the time to do it or not. You know, it's just that simple. We've got somebody in the chat room that wants to know if the rain was as bad to live with as it looked like on TV.
A little bit worse. it's horrible. It pelts. Like you actually feel it, like, smacking your skin. You know what I mean? And then the Philippines is so weird. It gets really, really cold when it's raining, and then the rain stops, and it gets really, really hot. You know what I mean? So you always feel like you're molding, you know? Everybody always smells like basement. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, the rain is horrible. Especially
at night. That's how Malcolm's Hidden Immunity idol got found was Lisa Welchel was trying to clean, you know, get everybody's clothes hung up so that they didn't, like, mold in their bags when the two tribes merged. And
well, that's what she says. You know, I don't think anything happens by accident in this game. You know, like,
you could be right.
Yeah. She was like, let me go on over here and snoop around a little bit and see if I see something.
She was probably hanging clothes up
Dana.
For a reason, huh?
Yeah, come on now.
Yeah, she found that one real quick. Once they merged, she was on it. She may have known about that before they merged and just decided to bring it out right then and there. Who knows?
Let me go and throw the boy under the bus. You know what? Like,
this seems like a good time.
Yeah.
Now that we've all eaten, how about some dessert?
Yeah, let me go and bust your ass there, you know, give you a good one.
So, again, in the chat room, they want to know what the spiders and snakes or other animals are like over there. What kind of wildlife did you see?
Well, I mean, basically, I think it's, and I think this is true anywhere you go. 9 times out of 10, after you get somewhere and get to moving around, they stay away from you. We saw some, like, very huge rats. There was this little gully.
Food.
Over around from us. Yeah, no, I mean, not like that. Like, I don't think you would want to eat one of these dudes, man. You know what I'm saying?
They did on one of the survivors. They ate those rats.
I was damn sure hog hunting the whole time I was over there, but I didn't ever see one to get up on him, you know. Chickens are pretty much free roam, though, man. Them things are just everywhere in the Philippines.
Really?
Yeah,
now, I've heard in some past survivor seasons that they have had animals like that that are off limits to the castaways, whether, you know, sometimes it's because they're, you know, treasured animals in that culture, that type of thing. Have you heard about that before?
Well, we drowned one off the boat, so I don't think that applies to the chickens. Like, you know. It's like they're the test with us from day one, buddy. You know what I mean? Like, but, yeah, I have heard that, like cows and stuff.
Yep.
They look at as precious animals or something.
Well, on the season that Bubba was on, right across from where their camp was set up, there was a farm, and they had animals, and they had a garden, and all of it was off limits to the survivors. So they could look right across the road and see, like, chickens, and they could see all this green garden growing, and all of it was off limits. They could not touch any of it.
Well, there would be, I mean, you know, there would be certain areas you would get to, and it would be like a little sign that said, stop here, or something like that, you know, like, yeah, that's about it. You know what I mean? Like, you can, and the island is so huge, you know, there's plenty of room, like, if you want to walk off by yourself or something like that. But I guess, I mean, you know, you got to think there's some dangerous stuff in those where you're at.
Oh, I can imagine.
So if you got too far away, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's surviving, but they don't want you to die. I mean, you know, like, I don't want a, you know, a panther to jump on you or something. Mountain lion eat your ass or something, you know?
Oh, boy, I remember thinking it was one in Africa, one of the African seasons where they'd sit around at night and you'd hear lions in the background, and I thought, oh my God, that, you know, got to be scary, dangerous scary.
Yeah, that Africa one was scary. They, you could literally on the mics hear the lions. They had it set up so there was a barrier around the camp. And just on the other side of the barrier, you could hear the wild animals. And I don't know how those people slept at night. I really don't.
Worst thing we had was mosquitoes. The mosquitoes were, I mean, freaking horrible, man. Like, at night, you would take your bus and pull it down around your head. And you could hear them trying to buzz through the bus, like trying to bite your ears and stuff. Just horrible.
Oh, my goodness. Now, so I imagine you came back with lots of bug bites. I know there was many seasons where we saw people come back with just tons of bug bites.
Oh, yeah. And I think after a while, it's like those, the little kids and on the African commercials with the fly like on their eye, and you're like, man, just blink, and you'll fly off of there. But you just don't want to fight anymore. You just take it, you know, just get all you want, man, you know.
Ah, that's horrible. Now, does Survivor give you anything? Do they give you any sort of mosquito repellent or anything to fight those at all?
Oh, no, that show is, that, you know, I know it's a lot of reality TV shows that aren't really reality, but Survivor is as real as you want it to be. I mean, you would not believe how many family members and stuff, how many people have asked me, you know, like, well, you know, when they stopped recording, did you get something to eat or did they come give you something to drink? I mean, the water that we drank, it was the most god-awful mess I've ever. You have to boil your water, you know, so you can get it clean, you know. And I know you've heard people say before, you know, this water's got a metal taste to it. But that water tasted like you were swallowing stainless. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that show is like joining the Marines is what it's like.
Wow, I thought maybe they at least, you know, gave you some sort of repellent to maybe try to keep the mosquitoes off of you some, but it doesn't sound like it, huh?
And, you know, I think that's, you know, for the most part, that's why people go so hard in immunity challenges, you know, because, you know, you've been out there. I mean, I cannot, even being on the show, I cannot imagine what it must feel like to eat a chocolate chip cookie after 37 days. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. I mean,
36 days and you get Dr. Pepper. I mean, it's got to be, you know,
the most amazing tasting thing you've ever put in your mouth.
Oh,
I've been
yeah.
in the hospital where I couldn't have anything to eat for just, you know, 4 or 5 days. And had a Jell-O, and that Jell-O tasted like, you know, the most amazing thing ever. So I can imagine being out there in the dirt, in the just jungle for 30-some-odd days and getting a chocolate chip cookie. I mean, or like fried chicken or the pancakes with syrup, some of those things that they gave away during the auction or something like that. That had to be like just heaven for those people.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even imagine. I mean, a big glass of chocolate milk. I remember, who was it? Was it Parvati? Who was it that two of the girls stripped down in front of Jeff Probst for chocolate and peanut butter? Standing
yeah.
on logs out in the ocean. I mean, people do crazy things for food out there on Survivor.
Oh, hell yeah.
So you didn't come back with any stomach bugs or anything like that, did you?
Oh, no. Clean as a whistle.
I know Dana had a little bit of an issue, poor thing. I felt so bad for her when she had to be medevaced out of there.
Yeah, and, you know, her stomach's doing it right.
Oh, that poor girl. She is so sweet. I just think the world of her.
Yeah, she actually, you know, we got to spend some time together. She actually came to my house.
Really?
So we only live about 45 minutes from each other.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, so it was kind of weird, like, because we didn't find out about any of that until, I mean, we got back home, you know. And so, so when we got to see it, it was like, man, that is crazy. We're that close to each other, you know.
So
she's just a sweetheart.
Did you try to get it before, after, you know, you were done and before the show aired, were you able to talk with any of the other castaways from the other tribes, or was it the first time for you when you went out to the finale?
For a lot of them, it was, you know, just getting to meet them. But, you know, there were some that I already knew, you know, that were pre-jury.
So a little bit surreal. You sit there and watch the whole season, you know, the television series and the whole season on TV. You go out to the finale, and you're meeting some of the fellow castaways from the Philippines for the first time. And so you probably said, oh, I really like this guy, or this person is a fan. And then you show up out there and they say, hey, Zane. You go, oh, my God. They know who I am.
I mean, like I said, everybody loved me from the beginning, so that was kind of weird. I was like, you know, that's kind of weird for me that the whole cast is, I love you, Zane. I mean, Malcolm's mom come walking up to me, and she was like, I can't wait to meet you. Like, I've been waiting to meet you this whole time. And I'm like, aren't you Malcolm's mom? Like, you know, like, he's cooler than I am. You know, she got laughing. She's like, oh, no, I want a picture with you. I love you.
Aww.
And so, it was really cool, man. I mean, you know, like, so it wasn't really like that for me. I didn't really get to be a fan of it because I was involved in it, you know. Like,
okay.
they even looked at me weird. Like, you know, we were all in the green room, and I had my buff on. My wife actually got me a buff for Christmas before we left. And so I was standing in there, and I was like, you know, I got everybody here right in front of me. I'm going to get everybody to autograph the buff so I can give it to her for Christmas, right?
Oh.
You know, like from the whole cast. And so a couple of them just laughed, but it was a couple of them that looked at me like, you know, this is weird that you want my autograph. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
So I had to explain to them, you know, it's for my wife for Christmas, you know. So then they'd be like, oh, okay, I'll sign it, you know. And
Your wife sounds like a real special lady, Zane.
Oh, she is. Like I said, from the beginning, she was the only reason why I applied or I went on or anything. And
that's what I was about ready to ask you. Most every survivor that we've had on our show always has, you know, a story of how they came to get on Survivor, and I'm curious what your journey was like and how it happened for you.
Oh, man, just divine intervention. I don't even know how to say it to you, but it's just meant to be. I mean, it was actually kind of a joke between me and my wife, and she was like, you know, we were watching South Pacific, and she was like, you know, why don't you go for that? And, you know, you could do that. And I was like, you know what, I think I could. So the deadline for the Survivor application was 12 o'clock that night. So just in the middle of the workday at work, I pulled out my cell phone, and I sent in a 28-second video. and I mean, what can you really say in 28 seconds? I mean, you know what I mean? So I'm like, yo, I'm Zane Knight from Danville, Virginia, and if you don't put me on your show, you ain't shit. Like, that's all I said. And so the next day, the next day I get a phone call, and they're like, you know, did you send in a videotape to be on a TV show. And I'm like, hell yeah, dude. So the chick's like, all right, well, we're going to send you plane tickets to come to California. So it's like,
oh,
yeah. So I was like, I was in Cali like the next weekend. And I went and, you know, did my interviews. And yeah, it was really awesome. It was just one of those things, man, even talking and meeting with people and stuff, you just kind of know. Like, I was like, I remember that last time they were going to call you when I left. They were going to call you and be like, you know, let you know whether you got it or not. And I got home and I was like, shit, I got that. I got it. You know what I mean? And so,
oh, my gosh.
I think that's the reason why I went like I did, because I honestly felt untouchable. You know what I mean? I was like, man,
yep,
I got this thing licked. Like, you know what I mean? Like, shit, look at these people around me. I mean, don't nobody want it as bad as I do. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm like the poor kid here. So I was like, I'm going home with this money, you know? And so I thought that the relationship that I had tried to build in the little bit of time I was there, you know, I thought, when I said, well, just send me home because I suck. You know what I mean? Like, I suck. I just knew everybody was going to go, no, come on, man. You know what I mean? But it was so early. Yeah, it was just so early in the game that everybody was like, eh. All right,
that's
dude,
what I was
going to
mention. It seems like early in the game, when they haven't spent a lot of time with you, they, you know, the people that have to vote are looking for any excuse at all, and,
yeah,
you know, to pick somebody.
If I could have had one more challenge and then pulled that, I think it would have worked. You know what I mean?
Hey,
like,
I do have a question, because it was full of them this season. Are you good at puzzles?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. And I guess we'll just, like, you know, well, hopefully we'll get to see if I can prove that or not. But, yeah, I think I would have done awesome in the puzzle.
I think part of the problem, too, was that everybody did like you so much, and they knew that you had such a social game that if had you stayed, you would have been
great
tough to deal with later on, because you did have a social aspect to your game, and you did have relationships with, you know, or could build relationships with everybody there. And I think they instantly felt like, you know, if we don't get him out now, he has the ability to build
charm
a
everybody.
Very social relationship with anybody. This kid can, you know, go up and talk to anybody and instantly befriend anybody. And if they didn't get you out right then, that you were going to be a big threat down the road.
Right.
And I think they saw that right up front. And when you gave them the opportunity, they were on it, because they knew that if they didn't get you out right away, that you were going to be a force to be reckoned with, because you had a social game that was going to take them out one by one.
How, I mean, the other part is that tribe you were on, they seem to be totally jinxed. I mean, one after the other, after the other, after the other. I mean, oh, my
yeah.
God.
I think if I could have got on, you know, with Dana, if I could have been on Red, man, Calabal, I think I could have got something done, you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
I do too.
How the tribe
but,
landed just really seemed to, I don't know, that was really tough. Dana, I mean, Denise and Malcolm were the only two that lasted on that tribe.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, like I said, I don't have no complaints about anything. I mean, first draft, you know, you're gonna mess up a little bit because you just get in your way. But hopefully, with the responses and all those, like I said, Facebook and Twitter. Everybody pretty much liked me as far as the fans. So, you know, all I can say is it won't happen again. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it went in kind of cocky. If I ever get the shot to do it again, I'm going to go hard. Like, and I know that's probably stupid to say that, because if I do get to come back, I'm probably going to come back in a fans, favorites, or heroes, villains kind of deal. And so that means they're automatically going to come after me, because I already said I'm coming hard. But, I mean, how else could you come after tasting it, you know, getting to, I mean,
well,
nothing else would be satisfactory but the $1 million check, you know.
Yeah. We were also huge Big Brother fans on the Rad Reality show, and we've often said, you know, it would be a great thing for them to get people to come back for, like, an all-star season that were pre-jury, that were voted out early, you know, because it just seems like the producers, when they bring people back, they focus more on the people that were in longer. But for fans, I'm speaking for myself, I would love to see some of the people that I saw great potential in, you know, that were voted out, you know, first, second, third, and see what they could do. And I think it would be a draw for the fans. I think they would get good ratings. And
yeah,
I know,
what about like a first boot season? All
right.
First
boots.
Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? Like, how cool would that be? Or not just first boots, because you're talking to me. You know, what about the first third boots? You know what I'm saying? Like, just have a whole season of everybody that got voted off third or fourth. You see what I mean? Like,
I don't know about that
would be cool.
I don't know
or
about you. I was
anybody from the
my...
season that was voted, you know, out either, you know, up to the fourth, you know, eviction. You know, pick from those people from each Survivor season, somebody from, you know, first to fourth eviction. You know,
I mean,
on each Survivor season, and bring them back, so you can have.
Think about some of these people, Cherry. Think about like Jillian. Wouldn't they love to see? I mean,
Jillian was awesome, and there's so many that were, you know, taken out early that would be great to see back on Survivor.
I agree.
I think it would be an incredible season, and I think they really should do that. It's just convincing them. We've had so many people come on our show and say that, fans and survivors alike. It's just getting the people with the powers that be to listen, you know,
to that and actually
do it.
Right. Here's the other variable, Cherry and Zane, is the people that stay on long and the fans or whoever, you know, even past survivors that are watching it, they kind of get to know what kind of game these people are playing. And if they brought back people that were voted out early, you don't really, you know, you get on there and you go, well, I'm not sure really. They were never on very long. I'm not sure what kind of game. It would be kind of a fresh unknown, which I like the unknown, you know, that you can't pigeonhole them into a Boston Rob or an Ozzy or a coach where you kind of know what kind of game they play. We would be, you know what I'm trying to say, don't you guys?
Yeah, I think it would be a really interesting season, and I wish they would, you know, do something like that. I think fans would flock to it and really love to see that kind of thing. I just wish they would listen and, you know, listen to the fans and hear us, you know?
I know.
Like I said, that's the reason why I didn't understand fan favorite, because I mean, if you could have seen this boy at the hotel when you got to LA, there he was like Justin Bieber. There was like mobs of girls like getting ready to fall out because Malcolm Freeburg was in the building. You know what I mean? So how that boy didn't get fan favorite, I never understand. You know what I mean? I just don't. it didn't hit me right at all. I was like, how in the hell did he not get it, you know?
Yeah,
sometimes you wonder about how the voting ends up, because I thought he was going to get it, too. I honestly did. I mean, there was so many people that loved Malcolm that I just didn't understand how he didn't get it. And you just wonder sometimes how that voting stuff goes.
It seems like there should be a better, more fair way, but there are certain blocks of people that vote more than other blocks, and obviously...
My wife said that, you know, so many 80s babies that was pulling for Lisa Welch, you know, Facts of Life.
Right.
I thought that was funny that you see all these pictures popping up on the internet after the finale went off. And the only picture I saw of me was me rolling my eyes when Lisa Welch started singing the Facts of Life theme song. I was like, of course, that's what you're going to catch, is me being a smartass, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, well, my goodness.
I must say, and I heard afterwards that they made an effort, and Jeff Probst made an effort to talk to every single survivor. I've been so disappointed so many seasons on the finale, the reunion show, where not everybody got a chance. They come out on stage, you know, and they're all excited to be back and all caught up in the festivities, and they don't get any airtime. And that's happened in other shows, too, like you talk about Big Brother on their finale night. And I think, okay, they brought these people back, and you didn't even ask one question of this person. So I was so pleased that everybody got a little airtime.
Yeah, and you know, it was a really sad thing, the tragedy in Newtown. President Obama's speech, it kind of put the show on a delay. You're exactly right. It was very awesome that Jeff Probst made a way for everybody to get to say something. You see what I mean? So I definitely agree, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that Obama took too long. I mean, you know what I mean? He could have took another half hour talking about the tragedy. But it was, like I said, on top of everything else, to have that delay on top of the show, you know, it just says a lot that they made sure everybody got to talk.
The one thing that I thought about on the reunion show is that they spent about 15 minutes with Lisa on the Survivor reunion show.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
here Denise
exactly
is
right.
The one that won, and they didn't
spend... the whole season has been about Facts of Life. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
As much as I love Lisa, you know, and I thought she played an amazing game, but Denise did too, and Denise won, and I thought she should have, you know, at least got an equal amount of airtime on the reunion show, you know.
That's what I didn't understand was that meaning, because like I said, Lisa's the sweetest lady ever. I mean, I got along with her, really awesome. But like when we first got on the boat, and you know, Jeff Probst asked me, he says, what do you think about the Three Tribes? And I'm like, oh, I love the Three Tribes is fine as long as we don't have no celebrities. And the camera pans right to Lisa Welch, and she's like rolling her eyes like, you don't know who I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I can't believe she didn't hate me from day one. You know what I mean? Like,
I have to tell you this, that I did enjoy Lisa on this season, watching the whole season, and I was happy she's in the final three, and I'm just setting this up that I had nothing against her. And both Cherry and I, because we do the Survivor show, we write down and take a lot of notes. And so I'm always jotting down things and impressions while I'm watching this show. And as much as I loved Lisa, one thing I wrote down was way too much time spent, you know, Jeff talking to Lisa. And then somebody came on the Survivor show that you missed joining us, and one of the castaways said, it's probably because he is, Jeff Probst is going to be doing a show with her or something like that. Is that, was that what they said, Sherry?
I think she was going to be a guest on his show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but
no, she
at
was.
Any rate.
She was. Yeah, she was a guest. I watched the show.
Right.
So are you going to be watching Survivor in a different way now, do you think? Are you going to be rushing home?
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I don't think that I'll be, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you got the gist of what I was getting at.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, there's nothing that makes me be like, oh, I gotta get home. I mean, my wife stayed so mad at me because this was my season and I didn't even, I mean, if I was sitting in there and it was on TV, I'd watch it, but. You know, if I had something else going on, or if it was somebody at the house or something like that, I'd be like, man, I'll watch it later. You know what I mean? Like, the first episode that came on, you know, because like I said, it wasn't really about that for me. It was about, you know, trying to bring something back to the house. You know what I mean? So
right.
I just, this here recently, I just started getting into it. Like, the whole, like, yeah, I know you know who I am. You know what I mean? Like, I just recently started to, like, have fun with it, I guess. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, one other reason I brought that up is would really want to let you know that you have an open invitation when we start up our Survivor shows, you know, for the new season. If you need a place to talk about your opinions of watching next season, we'd love to have you to come on and talk about them. So I was kind of bringing that up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we always want you. We have Travis Bubba Sampson from Survivor Vanuatu that hosts the show, and he's a good Southern boy as well. And he hosts the show, and we come on every week at this very time. And, you know, host the Survivor show and talk about the current episode. It airs on Wednesday, and on Thursday we come on and talk about it. And so if you didn't watch it on Wednesday or watch it later on Wednesday or watch it Thursday afternoon, you have a little bit of time to catch up. And then
there you go.
You always are welcome to call in to talk about it with us. We'd love to have you come on and chat about the show with us. We always invite any survivors to come on and talk about the show and let us know what they're thinking about what's going on in Survivor. It's always fun to hear from a survivor's point of view what they're thinking about what's going on the current Survivor. So you have an open invitation to call in during the Survivor season, well, anytime actually, if you have anything to promote or anything's going on you want to talk about, you are always welcome to call in here. And when Survivor's on, we love to have survivors call in and just chat with us about the current Survivor. And we have people calling in and talking about it as well. Our fans and stuff call in, and it gets to be a lot of fun because, you know, people have their different favorites. And you know, we debate and go back and forth, and it just gets to
that
be a lot of fun.
Strategy.
So
that was a good strategy. That strategy sucked. You know.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, man, I really appreciate that, and it's really been awesome talking to y'all. And you just keep me up on Facebook, and you know, like I said, I'll holler at you as soon as the new season starts, or hopefully, I'm gonna stay in the loop here. I done caught the bug now, so I saw Penner on Law and Order.
Yeah, Penner,
he's
great.
Yeah. So I'm going after it hard. I was like, you know what? If Larry the Cable Guy can do it, I can do it too. You know what I mean?
There you go. Absolutely.
I'm going, man. I'm going after it. You know what I mean?
There you go.
So
you go for it, Zane.
Speaking of, you know, anytime you have something to promote, do you have any events that you're going to be attending coming up, or have you not gone that far yet?
No, actually, I just, you know, started the pursuit here. So Not at this present time, but I'm open to whatever. So I know, you know, y'all got millions upon millions of folks listening to this right now. So, you know, if anybody wants to holler at me, man, Facebook, Twitter, you know, whatever.
Right.
My email is zane.knight@yahoo.com. So, you know, just hit me up.
And give us your Twitter.
It's Monster, M-O-N-S-T-A, 5000.
Awesome.
Monster 5000. And then the Facebook is just Zane Knight.
And I don't know if you'll be going out to Temecula, California.
Yes, I will be.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's a great event.
I was wondering.
That's a great event.
I got to meet Jillian.
She is a beautiful person.
She's a peach treasure. Yeah, she's such a sweet lady.
She thought that entire event up. You will have the best time out at Temecula, I promise you. She thought that entire event up in her head after she got evicted from Survivor while she was sitting in Ponderosa. And that whole event has now come to be one of the most cherished events of all of reality. And people just love that event. And it is now going to go to other cities where other cities can have reality rallies. And she's just amazing. She has over 500 volunteers that help her put that event on. The entire town of Temecula gets involved, and it's just one of the most amazing events ever. It brings in thousands and thousands of dollars for breast cancer, and everyone has a blast.
What a cooler charity to be, you know, doing something for than breast cancer, because I mean, I think we all love boobies, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm down for that cause, buddy, you know what I mean?
Zane, you didn't see it, but Paul was raising his hand saying, you too.
Yeah, there you go, Paul, throw it up.
And there's one in Kentucky that's probably not too far from you that I think will be happening in June. That's for autism, which is another great event. And it's something like The Amazing Race. It's a race that you run.
Oh, cool.
And so I can have some people get in touch with you about that one as well. I'm sure they would love to have you there as well. Mary and David Conley from Kentucky put that one on. And it's a really fun event. So I don't know exactly how far that would be from you, but I can have them contact you anyway and see if it would fit into your schedule. And then, of course, the one in Virginia, Reality Rescue. There's so many, you know, you have to kind of pick and choose which one you can go to. But I know you're a working man and you can't get tons of vacation time, but you have to
Speaking
kind
of
pick and choose
man.
The ones you can
well,
go to.
Well, I will tell you, it's been really awesome as far as the availability. I've been pretty good as far as if I need to take a couple off, I just holler at my boss and he's like, you know, you good, you know, so.
Well, that's great to hear. That's really nice.
Yes, it's been pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Speaking of working, man, I'm thinking you might, it's getting kind of late. I so appreciate you staying on this long with us. It's been a blast, and I just want to give my personal thank you.
Yeah, man, I'm a talker, man, so I didn't want to jump out of the convo with you, but I was getting ready to back out myself, so
okay,
I appreciate
well,
you giving but... me the easy out. That was awesome. Yeah, thank you.
We do appreciate you coming on, Zane. Thank you so much for coming on and joining us tonight and chatting with us. You have a great night, and keep up the fight. Keep going after it, and hopefully we'll talk to you during the Survivor season, if not before.
All right, y'all. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, hon.
Good night.
All right.
Good night. What a fun guy.
Yeah, that was an easy interview, wasn't it?
He's just so sweet. I just adore him. He felt so bad about missing the previous show we did with the rest of Survivor 25 castaways, and
he would have gotten swallowed up by that group. Though I'm glad he got his own time.
Yeah, he's just so nice. When I talked to him earlier today, I left a message for him, and as soon as he got off work, he called me right up, and I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I just got off work, and I'm driving home." He didn't even wait to get home to call me. He's just so nice.
Yeah. And I mean it. I am not going to pick favorites anymore. I am not. I mean
it. Don't do that, Paul. Look at what you did.
I know.
I'm
all right,
kidding.
So in the little time that we've got to talk about the reality season is ramping up big time in the next few days and weeks. And as we're speaking tonight, although I did notice it's going to re-air about 20 times between now and the second episode, is MTV's Buck Wild, which I'm recording right now.
Damn, I'm missing it.
Like I said, it re-airs about, I when I searched for the second episode to set my DVR, I had to go through about 25 re-airings of episode one, so there's plenty of opportunities for you to watch it. But I kind of thought, you know, this is like the Jersey Shore of rednecks or hillbillies or whatever. It's based in West Virginia, and I think it might be a good one from what I've seen. But what are the other ones coming up, Jerry? We've got coming up Sunday night, right? We've got season three of Mob Wives.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. And Tuesday.
Oh, also don't. Sunday is another show on Sunday. Biggest Loser returns with Jillian's coming back, and it's about childhood obesity, I think, is what they're advertising, right?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Biggest Loser. And Tuesday. I'm so excited about this. I can't believe I'm like a kid. Joe Schmo is coming back.
Oh, that's right. I forgot to. And that's on what cape, what network?
I believe it's on Spike.
Okay, I got to set my DVR because I looked at on Tuesday and all I see was scripted TV that I put on there. But yeah, I'm glad you reminded me of that. The night before, Monday night, and I normally don't watch it, but sometimes I get hooked in, we have The Bachelor returning. I mean, there's a whole bunch of the mainstream ones also returning, and I think not too long from now, we've got American Idol starting up. Oh, by the way, Cherry, I was searching, and next Wednesday is the premiere of Season 2 of a show you told me about, Barter Kings.
Really? And when does that one start again?
Wednesday, next Wednesday. 6 days.
Okay. And Phil just asked me a question in the chat room. And I have to tell you, I was just typing this to him. He is the fourth person to ask me this question in the last 3 days. He wants to know when we're going to get Nabila Hannis back on from Storage Wars. And I absolutely adore Nabila Hannis. She is one of the sweetest people on the planet. And I haven't talked to her in a while, and I should have called her, I guess, much sooner than I have. So I need to get in touch with Nabila and see if we can get a show set up with her and have her come back on the show and update us on Storage Wars. She literally, Phil is the fourth person in the last 3 days who has asked me to get Nabila Hannis back on the show. So I've got to get her give her a call and see if we can set up a time with her. I don't know what her availability might be, but I will do my best to give her a call in the next couple of days and see if we can get a show set up with her in the very near future and find out what is going on Storage Wars. There's been a lot happening with that show. Dave Hester.
Controversy.
Yes. Dave Hester is no longer with the show. He's now suing the show. He's saying that the show has been, you know, that they set things up, that the show was fake. And I'm sure that, you know, that's not sitting well with producers and A&E and all of that. So, and I know that Nabila and Dave were very good friends. You know,
yep.
As much as they didn't appear to be at times when she was on the show, they didn't seem to be that close, they, you know, in appearance. You know, they were friends. And so I'll have to see if we can get her back on and get some scoop and find out
yep.
what's going on Storage Wars.
We
so,
also have some Big Brothers starting up. There's Big Brother Celebrity UK. And we're not too far away from Big Brother Canada. And I did hear, it sounds like it's pretty certain, it's been confirmed that there will be 24/7 feeds, because that was one question people kept asking over and over again. But somebody told me that that is confirmed. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that we here in the U.S. can subscribe to those feeds.
Boy, I hope so. Paul, can you imagine? That would mean a winter season of Big Brother for us.
I know. We gotta.
And I'm going to say this, although I shouldn't. But I think we may have one of our Big Brother hosts come back to do a show with us if we get 24-hour feeds. Just saying.
I hope. The timing of the show that we do, will afford us that. You know what I mean?
Just saying.
I mean, work schedules and the like. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm already starting to stress out. I mean, we just talked about 6 or 7 different reality shows, and it's like I just can't seem to catch up.
What's my saying, Paul? So much reality, so little time.
Yes.
I used to beg for more reality shows. Years ago when there was just a few on, I was like, why wouldn't they make more reality shows? Now it's like, you know, there's so many, it's just inundated, flooded with reality shows. And
I did my searching for Joe Schmo, and not only does episode 1 premiere and they're hour-long shows, but it's one of these that they decide to put 2 episodes on a night. So we have episode 1 and episode 2 airing next Tuesday night. Did you know that, Cherry?
No, I didn't. That's so cool.
Oh.
Joe Schmo is one of the most awesome reality shows ever. The first one was. I don't know how this one's going to be, but the first.
This actually, I was surprised when I looked at my TV listing. It says season 3, episode 1. So there must have been a second season that you're not aware of, because you have talked about just 1 season. I stumped you on that.
I don't know if I recall the second season of Joe Schmo. I remember the first one so well. And I'll never forget his voice and him going, "What is going on?" And it was just so fun. But he's the only one that doesn't know what's going on. There's only one person in the whole show that doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
And it's so much fun to watch this guy. It's like one person getting punked by a whole cast. And it's so much fun to watch this one guy getting just punked by a whole group of people over and over, episode after episode. And to see what they do and how they do it. And they run into a trailer that's set up on site, and they decide what they're going to do next and how they're going to do it. And they run back in the house, and it's just hysterical. And it went on. They got this guy so bad. He was so confused, and he really didn't know what was going on until the very end. And it was a lot of fun to watch. So I'm anxious to see how this one goes, because I didn't think, you know, once they did it, and I guess maybe they did it a second time, you know, they didn't figure that they could do it again, because the cover was blown. You can't really do that over and over again.
That's what I was thinking, too, that it's been off the air long enough that they probably could do it another fresh one. But it sounds like you could almost rename it. Instead of Joe Schmo, you could call it Joe Schmuck, because he just...
He was just so confused and so blown away. The first one was just awesome. So I'm anxious to see how this one gets pulled off, and if they actually can live up to the first one. So we'll see. And if it sucks, it sucks. But I can't wait to see if it lives up to the original. So.
Yeah, and that has proven to be true at times, that they bring back a new episode or new version of a show, and people just go, this sucks. You know, this isn't as good as the first time around. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, I mean, when The Mole was on, the first few seasons of The Mole were just, that was one of the best reality shows ever made. But, you know, when they started doing the celebrity moles and took it, it just sucked. It was awful.
Well,
and
speaking of celebrity, there was one that we didn't mention, and I'm not sure when its premiere is, but we've got The Apprentice.
Yes, Celebrity Apprentice, and they're bringing back some big names for that one, too. Although I'm not a huge Trump fan, you know, I always watch The Apprentice because it just is such a train wreck.
Yeah.
And I know there's a, what do they call those? I don't watch them all that much, but The Bachelor or Bachelorette or whatever. I think it's a Bachelorette this time. I don't know. That's starting out.
I already mentioned that that I don't watch it, but it's The Bachelor.
Oh, is it?
Premieres. Yeah.
See, I don't watch those.
I used to watch all the time, and then I stopped. And every once in a while, I'll start watching and get hooked in. And I always make note of it and see if I enjoy it. But normally I don't. But that is another one of the mainstream ones that are starting up soon. So.
Well, I guess that about wraps us up.
Anyway, it does about wrap it up. We're in the time of year where we basically do a Manic Monday and a Thursday roundtable, but I'm not sure if anything's been set up or confirmed for, I assume we're going to have a Manic Monday show. What do you know, Cherry?
Absolutely, and I want to make an announcement as who's going to be on Manic Monday this Monday, now that you mentioned that.
I thought I would throw that to you.
Manic Monday, the first Monday of the year, the winner of Big Brother, Ian Terry, is going to be with us. So make sure you join us for Manic Monday. Ian Terry is going to be with us.
All right.
So we're we're going to have some quacking going on. So make sure you're here for Manic Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Do some quacking with us with Ian Terry.
And Michelle Costa.
And Miss Michelle Costa, absolutely. The Portuguese princess has to be there for Manic Monday.
Yes.
So, yes, she let me know yesterday that Ian Terry would be joining us, and I'll do the promos tonight and get that out and let everybody know that Ian will be with us, and so everybody can be prepared for that. So that's going to be a fun one.
Storage Wars, New York, Storage Wars, Chicago, Storage Wars. Don't they already have Texas? I mean, that's one that pops up every place. I just noticed that in the chat is why I seemingly to the podcast, that wasn't what Cherry was talking about, but Phil was mentioning that in the chat. So anyway, we're running out of time, so I got to shut up.
That's becoming a very popular show. Storage Wars has really been a boom on A&E. And or not Annie. Is it Annie?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, it's History Channel that American Restoration is on.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, Storage Wars has been a really popular show, so they've gone to other cities and started them, and hopefully they'll be just as popular. So, but I agree, Mr. Mack, it does sort of dilute it. You get used to the ones that you like, and then the new ones come on, and they're just not the same. I like the originals.
Well, is it...
Average Joe is different than Joe Schmo. Joe Schmo, Nida wants to know the difference between Joe Schmo and Average Joe. Joe Schmo is where the whole cast knows that it's a reality show. They're in on the prank except for one person, Joe Schmo. The one guy is the only one that doesn't know what's going on. Average Joe was a lot of average guys going after beautiful woman, and there lies the difference.
Yeah, Average Joe, the women come on thinking they're on like a bachelorette. They're beautiful women, and they think they're going to be a bunch of models and hunky guys, and all of a sudden all these dorks come on, and dorkish looking nerds or whatever term you want to use, and it's like she's totally blown away, and the premise is can a gorgeous woman really fall in love with a not-so-gorgeous guy?
Kind of like a Beauty and the Geek.
Yes.
Right. So, all right, everyone, we're going to wrap this one up. Thank you so much for being here with us. We love you all. We hope your new year is the best ever. Enjoy all your reality shows, and then come back and talk to us about them and let us know what you think. Have a great night. Be kind to each other. We love you. Here's Ron to close the show.
So thank you guys for stopping in. But I do want to say some other stuff real quick. I was thinking about, like, today, about how much we've had so many people that have been faithful callers to our show. But I thank everyone that has been part of the show and is still part of the show. You know, I want to say thank you to you guys. And the reality people that, you know, I do this for you guys. And I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm going to go ahead and close it off tonight. And I appreciate everyone. I'm going to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys. And thank you all for coming in.
Where you can see. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
God bless y'all. Good night.